just want to read three verses. Starting with verse 14. 14, 15, and 16. You can follow along with me. I'll read it to you if my voice will let me. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word we have in our hands. We thank you for your great loving kindness and mercy, the love that you brought to us. We thank you, Lord, for the friends and fellowship we have along the Christian way.
Amen.
I ask you to bless your word to each of us today.
Amen.
Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And God, get glory to yourself.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Famous verses, and one of them, that has to be a favorite of many, many people. And I don't know how many times I've used this verse. But I got to thinking about it this week, and I thought about that very first statement there, I am debtor. You ever been in debt? Spent most of my life in debt. Worked two or three jobs just to try to stay out of debt. Get out of debt and some kid breaks an arm. Get out of debt next time, you got to buy new tires. Get out of debt, you get sick, got to go pay the doctor. Man, I've had a hard time trying to stay out of debt. Now, I'm old, lived in the same place long enough time that most things are paid for. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm out of debt.
Amen.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
Who do you owe? You ever thought about it?
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you who I owe. I owe God.
Amen.
Number one, starting off, I owe God.
Amen.
God gave an unspeakable gift, the gift of His Son, to die in my place and in your place. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to God because He put people in my path. He gave me a Christian mother and father. Man, that's a blessing. What a blessing. And you know, along the way, why I started dating a 16-year-old girl that just got saved. Hey, I don't know how many people I've got to give credit to for me ever getting the gospel and getting saved. I'm thankful for preachers that preach the word. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers that stuck by the word. I'm thankful for people that come and talk to me.
Amen.
Wow. I get in the military. I'm in Roswell, New Mexico, seeing the world in the Air Force. I saw the world from Roswell. I did go 10 days to Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, in the middle of winter, 49 degrees below zero. Here's this Texas boy that never gets to see snow, and I'm trying to make snowballs, and it's like sand. You ever been in that cold of weather? I tell you, you can't make a snowball. The snow's got to melt a little to make a snowball. And that stuff is just like sand. It's that cold. They told you, don't take your glove off and stick it to any metal because you'll leave your skin right there. And that was the truth. So I saw the world. I saw Fairbanks, Alaska. Allison Air Force Base. 10 days. Rest of the time, Roswell, New Mexico. But you know what? That has a real good connotation to my mind. Wow, what thoughts come up? You know what I think about? I think about a friend getting saved. I'm a debtor. 25 years ago, I made a long trip to try to find out and thank everybody that had a part in getting me saved. I found them. Took me some extra miles, but I found them all. I had a friend that said, hey, I just got saved. Come to church with me. I'm a debtor to that guy.
Amen.
I'm a debtor to somebody that would come over to me and put up with my attitude. You didn't know I had an attitude? I have an attitude. You know, I've got sort of this cocky, smart aleck, way of doing things. And making fun, I make fun of everything. And here's my buddy. This guy, he couldn't talk without blushing. He was a tech sergeant in the Air Force. Sweet guy, real good with his hands, but oh, he was a shy man. And he comes over to my trailer and said, "Hey, I want you to go to church with me." "Well, why do I want to go to church with you?" "Well, I just got saved, and man, it's a great thing, and I want you to come to church." He couldn't tell me how he did it. He just got saved. He wasn't sure about it. I'm debtor to him. There was another fellow he brought with him. He was a preacher. He had a college degree. Still sounded like a hick, about like me. You know I'm a hick, which the minute you hear me speak my, you know, any words. I was raised by two great hicks. I loved them. Well, there's this preacher that sounded like a hick that came into my trailer and spent 3 hours one night answering every question that I had. And what he'd say, I'd say, "Well, what about this? What about where Cain get his wife?" "Well, I don't know, son, but here's what the Bible says." He just stuck that Bible in my face. He stuck it in my face and said, "The Bible says. The Bible says." For 3 hours, the Bible says. He ate my lunch. I didn't like that. I didn't like to lose it anything. But this guy, this country preacher, come into my house, as far as I was concerned, beat the daylights out of me. When he left, I read Genesis before I went to sleep. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to a preacher that would spend 3 hours of his time driving probably 30 miles one way to get to my place and spend that much time putting up with my questions and my attitude and just saying, "Son, the Bible says." Amen. The Bible says. I'm a debtor. I went to that church. Big church. Seat 500 people. I'm sitting way back at the back. And he was talking to me. I was singled out of 500 people. How does he know? How can he say that? How can that be? It's nailing me. I didn't think it was anybody else in the room getting anything. I was getting it. I'm a debtor to a preacher that preached the word straight. There was an evangelist came by. Praise the Lord. He was a good preacher. I enjoyed listening to him. I'm a debtor to him. I'm a debtor to the Apostle Paul. I'm a debtor to Timothy. I'm a debtor to a lot of people that brought the gospel all the way down to me. You know where we are? We're one generation away from atheism. That's it. We stand, we sit, we are comfortable, one generation away. And if we don't win our children and our grandchildren, it's over. Well, let me tell you what. People have been winning their children and their grandchildren. And the gospel is run down through families. You say, "Well, I don't have a Christian heritage in my family." Start one.
Amen.
Brother Brian's a prime example. He's the first one to get saved in his family. He got a bunch of them saved in that family now. Working to get them all saved. I'm a debtor. How much debt do you have? Wow. I have to preach the gospel. We would come home, Verlene and I, when I was stationed, different places. And I'd gotten saved. We wanted so much to get some of our friends and family saved. We'd witness to them, but I wasn't preaching here. I was preaching somewhere else. So we would go to one church after another. And I would sit and listen to preachers who preached on any number of things, everything but the gospel. And I'd be sitting there, "Come on, come on." I would think, "Is this what they're going to hear?" Let me tell you what, one time, I went to this church. It was full. Had beautiful, beautiful pews. And they had a wide aisle. And they had so many people, they had a chair on the end of each pew. Just enough room, about this much, for them to go down. And they were full. And they were standing at the back. And it was Christmas time. And you know what that preacher preached on? The donkey that carried Mary. He never got around to the gospel. I wanted to stand up and scream, "Hey, let me tell you something. Jesus can save you if you'll repent." Amen. How many are preaching this morning and they don't say anything about the gospel? Right. Paul said, "I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I'm personally a debtor." You probably know, you that have listened to me for years, I preach the gospel almost every message. I almost give an invitation almost every message. I got tired of thinking of preachers that didn't have time to tell people the gospel. Or they got bored with saying it over and again. I don't ever get bored with the gospel. There's a burden in my heart that there are lost souls and I don't want one to go to hell that I could prevent it. I want to make the gospel so clear that you have to reject it. That you can't miss it. You got to say, "He's talking to me." Just recently out in where I live, one of my neighbors called me and asked me if I would preach a funeral. He said that they were looking for somebody in their family, and that if they did it, why, that would be fine, but he wanted me as a backup. I said, "I'm sure. I'll be a backup for you. And don't hurt my feelings if somebody in your family takes over. It's fine." I went to the funeral because he's been a personal friend. I was not the preacher. Somebody in the family took care of it. But there were 100 men and women out in this cemetery. And oh, I sat there with a longing. I would love to preach to these people. Now, when I preach, I'm going to offend. I don't mean to. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And when I tell you Jesus is the only Savior, that's offensive. When I tell you you're not good enough to go to heaven, that's offensive. When I'm telling you that your sin is despised by God, that's offensive. When I tell you hell is forever, that's offensive. So if I'd have got up and preached that funeral, I would have offended over half of those people. But I remember the first funeral I preached at a little church called Midway Baptist Church years ago. I was a young preacher just out of college. I had plenty of experience preaching. But I was the young preacher in this neighborhood. And an old man had died. They were going to bury him at the Black Hills Cemetery on Lucky Road. I went out there. They asked me to preach the funeral. I didn't know this man from Adam. Had no clue. There were only 6 people that came to that funeral. And it was raining. And I'm standing in good shoes in mud up to my ankles. It was a great day. And I told him, "I don't know this man. You know him. He may be in heaven or he may be in hell. I just don't know. But let me tell you how you can miss hell and gain heaven." And I preached the gospel to those 6 men. Over a period of the next 2 years, I baptized 5 of them. One of them is 70-something years old, and the weather was 7 degrees outside, and when I put him into the... When I stepped in the water, it took my breath. And I was just 26. I stepped down in that cold, freezing water. And I said, "You sure you want to do this?" He said, "I've waited long enough." He was in his 70s. And I took my breath and I put him under the water and brought him back up, and he'd walk up to the church. And as he'd walk into the church, I'd shake people's hands just like I do here. He'd say, "Brr." For years. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. Now what did Paul say here? He said, "I'm a debtor to the wise and the unwise." You ever walk down the street and think about how many people are saved and how many people aren't saved? You ever walk down the street and think, "Could I maybe help that person? Could I maybe give them something they don't know? Understand me, most of the preaching that's being done today is ineffective. And it's not even the truth. Because people are afraid to preach the truth because it hurts people's feelings.
Amen.
He said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the wise. I'm a debtor to the unwise. I'm a debtor to the Greeks. I'm a debtor to the Romans. Where's this great debt Paul's talking about? He's looking around and said, I got this by mercy. I got this by for free. God, in His loving kindness, came down, struck me down on the Damascus Road and said, I want you. And He said, yes, Lord. And He was the Lord's from then on. But He had a debt. He had a debt to God. And when He looked out at those masses, He said, oh, Bithynia, I want to go to Bithynia. Why? There's so many lost people in Bithynia. They don't have the gospel out there in Bithynia. I want to go to Asia. Oh, man, how about the teeming millions in Asia? Were they that way then? Mere multitudes, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision and don't know which way to go. I'm a debtor. I look out there and I think, I owe these people to do for them what was done for me.
Amen.
I didn't go seeking God. I didn't search all the religions. I didn't read all the books. God came to me. God came to me in the voice of a Sunday school teacher. God came to me in the voice of a friend. God came to me in the voice of a wife. God came to me in the voice of a neighbor. God came to me in the voice of a preacher. God came in mercy to me. I owe. I sometimes look at somebody and think, what is their life like? The person you're in the grocery store with, what is their life like? Do they have the gospel? Do they know the truth? Do they even have a Bible? They probably do. Most everybody's got some kind of a Bible. But I'm a debtor. And I look at that and I sometimes pass somebody by and I feel like I haven't paid my debt. You know what I mean? You know the gospel. You know it well to present it to somebody. And you think, why didn't I do it then? Why did I pass that person by?
Amen.
Because I have a sense of debt. Now, that has made me do the work of an evangelist for 56 years. I feel like an evangelist. Now, I'm not traveling all over the country like I did years ago. I'm not preaching revival meetings week after week. No, but I look at people and I think my number one job ought to be to give them the gospel.
Yes.
And then no matter what I preach on, if I preach on money, if I preach on law, if I preach on whatever else, somewhere I better put the gospel in there because somebody just might have walked in my door that doesn't know it. I'm a debtor. You know, He said something else. He said, I'm ready.
Amen.
I like that. They want Him to come to Rome. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Bless your heart. That's the one thing worth preaching. All the rest of the Bible's good. And all of the knowledge we can get from it will be a blessing.
Amen.
You know something? That little bitty portion of the Bible, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the most important thing.
Amen.
Why? Your eternal soul depends on what you believe. Doesn't depend on what church you belong to.
Right.
There'll probably be people from every church in heaven and in hell. I personally think that most of the preachers are going to go to hell. I think the majority of them are lost. Never been born again. Now, not your favorite preacher. I know he's all right. But there's sure a bunch of them out there They don't know a thing about the gospel. I remember carrying my family with me. Mr. Bell mainly, because we all wanted him saved. And take him into a church, and we're sitting down there, and we're waiting for a gospel message. We're waiting for him to tell him something important. Have you stayed home and watched television every once in a while lately? The preachers on television? They can take up 30 minutes of time and never get to the gospel. They can't even give it an invitation. They can't even explain it in a few words. What's the matter? You're bored with the gospel? I'm not bored with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest news I've ever heard.
Amen.
I don't know why I'm still alive. I should have been dead several times. Some of you thought I was dying several times. I'm still here. Today. And I don't know why I'm still alive except that God must have somebody else for me to talk to. And I'm good with that. I like to talk, and I like to talk about Jesus. And I like to talk about the Bible. And I like to talk about sins being forgiven and souls being saved and missing hell and gaining heaven.
Amen.
Because that's the most important thing you need. And hey, I was a church member 10 years before I got saved. Some of you church members might be lost. You might not have got it. You might have got in here under false pretenses. You might have just walked because your friend walked down. You might have got baptized because your sister got baptized. I don't know. Boy, I don't know your heart, but the Lord does.
That's right.
The Lord does. Paul said, "I'm ready. I'm ready." Now let me tell you something. As I said before, this is offensive. This will offend you. Being a very good Catholic will not send you to heaven. Paying back all your sins that you can think of will not take you to heaven. Getting baptized by immersion will not take you to heaven. Memorizing scriptures out of your Bible will not take you to heaven. Let me tell you something. You don't stand a chance without Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Only one name given among men whereby you must be saved. That's very exclusive. I'm sorry, you worshiping Buddha? You're in the wrong place. Confucius? He won't make it. And neither will a whole lot of these prophets that are running around loose today. Apostles running around loose today. There are no apostles today.
Amen.
To be an apostle, you had to see Jesus in the flesh. You seen Jesus in the flesh lately? I haven't. Paul said, "I'm ready. I'm a debtor to the wise, to the unwise, to the Greek, to the Jew, to anybody. I'm a debtor. I owe them this gospel message. I owe them this hope. I owe them this mercy because it was given to me." God had mercy on Paul. Paul was a killer of Christians. Paul was a torturer of Christians. Threw them into prison. God said, "I got a better use for you, son." And he slapped him down on the Damascus Road. And he got up and said, "Who are you, Lord?"
"Yeah.
I know you, Lord. Who are you?" "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Hey, Paul got saved. Paul got to preaching. And the kind of man that he was, he just kept right on preaching and he kept right on going. Now, this is a tremendous verse. I've preached it many times. I hope to preach it a few more before I go. And I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed. You ever been ashamed? Sure you have.
Amen.
Sure you have. You split your britches one time and you were ashamed. Yeah, you took some sauce and just dumped it on your shirt. You were ashamed. See, that's why I wear a bib. try to keep the wife from having to take all these spots out of my shirts. You ever been ashamed? How about you ashamed of Jesus?
Amen.
You ever been in a crowd and you don't want to let them know you're saved?
Amen.
You ever be in a crowd and you don't want them to think of you as being weird or different or
Amen.
Or religious or don't want them to call you deacon or preacher or something? Yeah, we get ashamed, don't we? We get ashamed of Jesus sometimes.
Amen.
And that's a shame.
Amen.
That you're ashamed of Jesus. People use His name in vain all the time. Do you ever think about telling them you're talking about my Lord? Oh, I was just saying that. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But He said, don't take the name of the Lord God in vain.
Amen.
You ever walk off when they're telling their dirty joke or when they're wanting to get you in on something? You need to walk off.
Amen.
You need to lose some friends. I'm sorry, but you just can't afford all the friends you have sometimes.
Amen.
You really can't. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it either. Why? It's the most valuable message ever given. The greatest promise ever brought to any man is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How could you give anybody any more? Nah. My wife and I, we're old. We're going to go. They're going to go throw dirt in our face one of these days. And all the junk I got at the house, I don't want to give it away. I like it. It's my junk. But the kids are going to get dump trucks. And just throw it all in the dump trucks and take it out there and pay them $20 and put it in the dump. It don't mean anything to them. It's old stuff. It's grandma's drawers. Chest of drawers. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It's powerful. For it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
We get a lot of people on dope and alcohol and this monster up there in Chicago says he's sick. He is sick. But he's full of sin. And yeah, he probably is sick. But now he's saying, no, I'm not a monster. I just got this addiction. Well, we all have traits like that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it can save souls. It can change people.
Amen.
I had a dear friend, he went into 5 rehabs for dope. 5 expensive first-class rehabs. And he came out and got back on dope and then killed himself. We got a problem. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ has the power to deliver you from whatever you're in.
Amen.
I've heard people say, well, when I got saved, cigarettes didn't taste any good anymore. I just quit them like that. No problem. Wasn't that way with me? They still smell good. That's 56 years ago. They don't smell bad to me. I love a good pipe tobacco. Smell it. But I'd have probably had black lung if something didn't happen to me. And I got off of them. When I got saved, I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling. That day. Well, I tell you what, my hands itched when they were playing poker and I couldn't play. And I had nicotine fits all over themselves. I traded my Camel cigarettes for a New Testament. And every time I wanted to smoke, which was often, I pulled that New Testament out, stuck the mortar, and read it. It was had covered with grease. I was an airplane refueler. It was covered with grease because I had a lot of nicotine fits. He didn't just take it away from me. He tortured me for months. Are you going to stick? Are you going to stick? I stuck. Jesus can deliver you.
Amen.
Jesus can save your marriage. Jesus can save your life. He can save your soul.
Amen.
He can change some of the things in your life if you'll give your life to Him.
Amen.
You ought to read the book of Proverbs. You probably ought to read it every day. You ought to read a chapter a day and just keep reaching it every month. You might become wise. Pardon me. Wise. Because that's a wise man that wrote it. If he was stupid enough to ignore it or forget it, that doesn't mean what he said wasn't wise.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God.
Amen.
Take a look at the Apostle Paul. He's going one direction. I mean, hell-bent. One day, God confronts him, slaps him down, tells him who he is, and tells him what to do. Changed his life completely. Well, he changed mine. Did he change yours?
Yes.
Some of you sit in here right now, and you're good, fine Christian people, because God changed your soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
That's power. Wouldn't you like to be able to change your teenage boy's attitude? Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Would you like to give your teenage daughter a little common sense? Oh, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? You'd pay much money for that. God is in the soul-changing business. God is in the eternal-changing business. I'm not ashamed of it. I think it's the most powerful thing, the most powerful message ever given to man. I think it's the greatest mercy that God could have ever given anyone. How come God thinks so much of you that He brought the gospel your way?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You're not that special.
Amen.
Put yourself in the averages. Put yourself in the run of the mill and you don't stand out that big. You're not that tall. You're not that short. You're not that fat. You're not
Amen.
That skinny. You're not that smart. You're not that rich.
Amen.
God, in His mercy, saw fit to give a gospel that could save your soul and change your life forever.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. I'm not afraid of dying. I haven't been for a long time. I'm afraid of pain. I'm sorry. I don't like pain. A massive heart attack right now? Welcome. Pain for the next 3 years? No, thank you. But we don't all get our way, do we? There are a lot of people laying up in nursing homes right now that just won't die. And all the money that it's costing to keep them alive, the money that it's cost the government to keep me alive. It's amazing. Let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus Christ is such good news because it promised me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You walk in there 1 minute, and that person is talking to you. They're intelligent. They can answer your questions. You step out, go to the restroom, go get you a drink, eat lunch, come back, and they're gone. The body's still there. They're not there. Oh, their body's still there. We're going to put it in the ground, but they're not there. What can a Christian say? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Why be ashamed of that?
Amen.
Why be ashamed of anything so great and so powerful? You got a car with a great big engine. You say, boom, boom, I got 400 horses. I saw one on television. They had two engines and 1,200 horses in a little 32 coupe way back when. That's a hot rod. You ashamed of it? No, that guy's driving it down the road just as happy as can be. Look at me, look at me. I was coming into town the other day and I passed up a guy, an old man. Young men can't afford these cars. It's old men that have money. This guy is driving a bright yellow Lamborghini. Probably $300,000. And he's driving down the middle lane of the expressway at about 55 so everybody can pass him. He's saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Let me tell you what, we ought to almost do that if we're saved.
Amen.
Wow! You know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to meet Jesus one day. I'm going to see Him as He is. I'm going to stand in His presence. I'm going to live in His house. And the fellowship I've had with my family and the fellowship I've had with my church is going to be greater than anything I've ever seen.
Amen.
And He's going to say, welcome, son. They're going to say, how did you get there? I don't know. Were you good? No, I really wasn't good. Were you smart? No, I really wasn't that smart. Did you have real grit? Did you really hang on? No, I cried like a baby about that time. Complain. America's the biggest complainers in the world.
Amen.
We got it better than anybody that ever lived, and we're the biggest complainers.
Amen.
No, I got it as a gift.
Amen.
I got it because Jesus Christ loved me enough to die in my place.
Amen.
Not because I deserved it. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it now. I won't deserve it then. It begins as a gift. It ends as a gift. It stays a gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm proud to preach the gospel. I'm thankful to preach the gospel. I think it's the greatest opportunity I've ever had is to tell somebody about Jesus over these last 56 years. Wow. We're going to heaven. I mean, all this is testing time. We're going to go walk the streets of gold. Live in a mansion. I don't live in a mansion. Anybody live in a mansion? We don't have any rich people here. We got some nice homes. We're not slobs. But bless your heart, I'm going to a mansion. Unimaginable. The mind cannot express it.
Amen.
And you know how big I think God is now? He's going to look bigger then. You say, we're going to understand it all further by and by. I don't think so. I think we're going to understand how much more God knows than we know.
Yeah.
We're going to see Him even bigger when we see Him there than we see Him now. Every time science comes up with one of these things and I look at it, I say, wow, 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 I love it. They just don't give credit to the right person. They're always talking about Mother Nature. It's not Mother Nature. There ain't no Mother Nature. Excuse my English. There ain't no Mother Nature. There's the Father God.
Amen.
Heaven? Wow. No more crying.
Amen.
No more pain. No more sin.
Amen.
No more disappointment. Love. A family of love. Who wouldn't want to go? Who wouldn't want to go? I think everybody wants to go. They're just not sure they want to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That He's the only Savior you can commit
Amen.
To. Try anybody else, it won't work. You can play to Peter, can't help you. Mary, I'm sorry, she was a great woman, but she can't help you. Jesus and Jesus only. There's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
The gospel is that Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture.
Amen.
That He was buried. That He rose again the third day. That He paid your debt to God.
Amen.
You can't pay it. You never could, and you never will be able to.
Amen.
Right.
There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's by a gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through
Amen.
Jesus Christ our Lord. If you will repent of your sins, now God's not going to take you if you don't recognize yourself a sinner. He didn't come to call righteous people. He came to call sinners to repentance. If you'll repent of your sins and ask God to have mercy on you, He will. I don't know of a better invitation than that. Will you take Christ as your Savior? And Christian friend, don't you think you have a debt?
Amen.
Don't you think you have a debt? Paul said, I got a debt.
Amen.
What was his debt? He saw these people lost and on the road to hell. He saw these people without the knowledge of God. And he said, I owe them to tell them the truth. Let's stand and sing.